hope you understand what a blessing it is to have some of these guys around us. Amen. Thank you, Brother Rick. I'm just thrilled to hear you sing. I was thinking, when you were standing there singing, I was thinking about when you were growing up. And thank God for the scripture says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. Amen. So, amen. I'm glad to be here today. I hope you're glad to hear. We're working on a series called Perfecting of the Saints. There is a portion of the scripture, the Bible says, that God gave prophets and apostles, prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. And the idea is that they are there to get you to acknowledge or get you to understand certain things of the scripture that would perfect us, to make us better, to hone our edge, to build something to make sure that everything just fits perfectly together. And I want to perfect you this morning on God. There is so much. Last night I was going over one more time. I thought, good night. Have I bit into something bigger than I really want? I don't know if I want to tackle or not. But when you think of God, when we think of Elohim, the God, the pluralicity of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When Elohim said, "Let us make man in our image and not our likeness," and God is so great, and I know we hear this all the time. God is awesome. Well, he really is. And to me, awesome doesn't even touch it. And I hope today we just talked this morning on Amos, who was just a. You know, he followed the herds and he picked sycamore fruit, and he wasn't much. And boy, when I look at this, I'm saying, "Oh my goodness, what am I doing here?" I I've been preaching for 44 years, but I still haven't even touched the surface of who God really is. I hope I've used my old doctrinal books. I've just dug out everything I could get, and I just realized that. I'm just opening the envelope. I'm not even getting into the letter. Amen. But I hope today that it'll be exciting for you. I hope today is it's exuberant for me as I look into the Word of God and I see all these characteristics that God is. And it's an amazing thing that God said that we're made in His image and in His likeness. And so I tremble to the fact, as one old preacher says, the closer you get to God, the worse you realize you are, you know, the least you are to Him. And as the psalmist says here in Psalm 33 and verse 6, would you look at just for one moment, please? I know you read it, but just one more time. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the, read it. Have you looked outside lately? And this morning I came in Antenna Hill, you know, over here, and there was a cloud around it, but Antenna Hill was above it. And I thought, that is so beautiful and amazing. And God just spoke. Wouldn't that be amazing? You just say something and there it is. God, pay my bills. How many like that today? Yeah. You know, I always thought it'd be a great idea, God kill him, but that's, God will never give that to me, man. And that's good. That's really good for you. But anyway, did you hear that? Yeah, but anyway. First of all, I want to talk to you about God has manifest His omnipotence. Don't be afraid of those things. Those big words. Omni means everything, and potent means powerful. We get the word dynamite from that word. I don't know about you, but anything that blows up, anything that makes a lot of noise, I'm first in line. Okay, just the way it is. I like seeing things explode and But God is omnipotent. First of all, God is omnipotent in creation and nature, as we read Psalm 33:6 here. The word of the Lord were the heavens made by the word of the Lord. Isn't he awesome? Isn't he incredible? So minute details. When you go in, we had a meeting at the Benefice and did some training there the other day, and they were talking about airborne diseases and all that kind of stuff, and how that there are some things that are just so microscopic they can't even catch them. God, in his magnificent power, created everything in you to fight off that bacteria and to just the littlest things, the little chromosomes that change our life and change the birth of our children, and just incredible things that just, you're awe. And you cannot fathom the things that are really happening. In fact, they have no idea really yet how these things happen. How in the world can you get grass that's green that gives you chlorophyll and that makes oxygen? And thank God for that, amen. This is incredible. They still can't figure it out. Oh, they think they got an idea, but and God just spoke it. I mean, his breath. Amazing. He gathered the water of the sea together in a heap. I'm glad about that. I'm glad it's in a heap, not all over the place. And he layeth the depths in storehouse. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. How do you explain anything more than that? Not only his manifested with the creation of nature, but also over man. Daniel chapter 4, verse 35 has this idea, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? We have a lot of people today that are so mouthy, I guess. I was going to say cocky, but there are people in this world that are so mouthy. They shake their fist to God and they laugh. And I remember one atheist used to say, if God is real, strike me down right here with a bolt of lightning. And then he'd laugh. Ah! He said, and God still reigns. And you say all you want, and all you will. I was with the family yesterday. I told them, I says, we as one of the doctrines of the Baptists is that we believe in free will. You have a choice. And I told them, I said, I am not here to cram down religion in your throat. I'm giving you the opportunity. If you'd like to know for sure if you die today, you can go to heaven. And all you have to do is ask God to forgive your sins and ask him to come into your heart and be your Savior. But I said, I'm not going to shove that down your throat. That has to be your choice. If you choose to accept Jesus Christ as your personal, that's your choice. And because of that, atheists and all these other kooks out there say, well, look at there. God can't do nothing about it. Let him strike me down. Let me tell you something. God's still in control. He gives you free will to choose whether you want him or you don't want him. I'm not here to shove my beliefs down your throat. Doesn't work anyway. If you try to challenge a man on his opinion, when it's all over, he's still his opinion still. So he also has power over, he has power over creation. He has power over nature. He has power over man. He also has power over the angels. Daniel chapter 4, verse 35, also the inhabitants of the earth and reputed as nothing. He doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. And he also has power over Satan. You know, I got mad the other day. And I told him, go back where you belong. In the name of the blood of Jesus Christ. He cannot do anything unless God allows him to. The Bible says in Job chapter 1, verse 12, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save. God allows things to happen in our life. We find over in Genesis where God was dealing with Joseph and his brothers. And his brothers, remember, sent him down into Egypt, sold him as a slave. We're going to kill him first, but Reuben, his brother, saved his brother and said, no, no, let's sell him. And sold him down there. And you remember they had a great drought. And all of a sudden, Joseph, in the providence of God, has become next to the king. And he has saved the country of Egypt because of the droughts. And his brothers came down, and he finally tells them, hey, I'm Joseph. And they are afraid. They think he's going to do to them like they would do to him. So that's the difference between Christianity and the world. The world says, oh yeah, he's going to get me back. I really did something bad to him. Now he's going to get me back. But as Christians, you meant it to be bad, but God made it to be good. That's the difference. There are people in this world who will take advantage of you, and then when you get the upper hand, they know that you're going to get them. And you don't. And they're a quandary. They can't understand that. They don't understand that we're not going to get back to them. Because God meant it to be good. Amen. And the things that happen in our lives, that God allows that so it will be good. And you guys are working out. I remember playing football in college and Hood and I did coming back for fall practice. Oh my goodness. Burn. Our legs are burned, our chest are burned, our arms are burned, and man, we just work and work so hard, and he just keeps yelling at us. I thought he was Satan for a while, even. I mean, yell at us! But when the game came, and when we were able to endure over our opponent because of our bodily exercise that we had paid for, at the end result was a win. Because we could keep going and they couldn't. And God has allowed things in your life that you don't understand, and right now you're pitching a fuss about it. Right now you're saying, Lord, woo-hoo, remember me? Hey, Lord, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't say I'll do it. But you got me doing it. And I'm in the middle of it. I'm so down, the only way I can look is up. And God makes it to be what? God makes it to be good. And the trouble you're having today and the heartache you're having can teach you a lesson, or you can blow it off. Forget God. Quit church. Quit people being around you that love you and want to help you. And literally destroy your life. And literally, that's what Satan is trying to do. But God says about Job, he says, you just prove him. Go ahead. Now, when we put it all together, number one, it ain't about me. That's what Uncle Cy would say. Happy, happy, happy. You know, Jack, it ain't about me. And just thought I see a lot of you people talking about that and got those bumper stickers and all the thing on your... Just thought I'd get down at your level. But anyway, The idea is that we are here for God's purpose. God is not here for our purpose. You understand that? And we are here so God can prove to Satan that His people that are under the blood, who are assured of their salvation through Christ, that they will get through, or He will either help us through this thing or He'll take us home. It's not about me. This life is not about you. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to glorify our Heavenly Father. And so, when things do come to our lives, in fact, Paul says we're to thank God for everything that happens to us. What do you mean? Surgery? Mm-hmm. What do you mean? Sickness? Mm-hmm. What do you mean death? Mm-hmm. It's not about me. This is not my life to live. It's my life to live for Him. And see, the Christian sees that and says, okay, I get it. Do you think Job was enjoying getting all the boils from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head? Do you think that Job was excited about all the things that said and how the people treated him during these hard times? I guess the bad thing about the whole thing about Job is how bad his friends treated him in the time that he needed them. By the way, it reminds us that it is God we need and not our friends. Though it's sure good to have some come along and put their arm around and say, hey, it's going to be okay. God also has omnipotence over history. And one man said history is His story. Daniel chapter 4, verse 17, this matter is by decree of the watchers and the demand of the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever He will and setteth over us the basis of men. God said, hey, you know what? I've got it handled. You can scream and you can holler and you can cuss as many times as you want to White House, but I'm saying the White House is not the problem. It's me. It's you. I have not yet seen a president of the United States take care of everything yet. He is not the Savior of me. My Savior is Jesus Christ, amen. Jehovah God. He is my Savior. And God says, you know what? I raise up, I take down. I allow people to be in positions. You got it. I know what's going on. You know? Wednesday morning, a few years ago, after the first Tuesday of November, God knew who was president before we did. Do you think that God could keep a man out of the presidency? Case in point, Ted Kennedy. Ted Kennedy should have been the next president of the United States. But somehow, Chappaquiddick got in his way. And America said, no, we don't want that. And you can just see how that he still stayed in office, but he never could raise to the top. You know why? God said, I don't want you up there. So when you read the scriptures in Daniel, it says, this matter is by decree of the watchers, and the demands by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever, get it now, He will, and setteth up over it the basis of men. Did you hear that? God's in control. And you better be praying for that president instead of cussing him. God is over redemption. He's the power of redemption. Aren't you glad about that? He redeems us. He gives us salvation. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 17. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11. Ephesians 1:11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. That's where it's all at. It is we who are to be his praise. I hope that the Lord said, "Boy, I'm happy with him. I'm glad he got saved." Hope he says that about me. He say that about you? "Boy, I'm glad he got saved. He's my praise. He's my glory, man. I can just shout glory at him. I can say to Satan, look at him. Look at him. Look at what a wonderful man he is. Look at what a wonderful girl he is. Look at what a..." Yeah, that's what it's all about. See, it's not about me. It's about him. Sometimes I wonder if the Lord didn't say, "Oh, man, why in the world did he ever get saved? Oh. Hey, Gabriel, you see him down there? You idiot!" Yeah, I think that's what he says about me. So we have the omnipotence of God, and I know that doesn't even touch it. But I also want to talk to you about the omniscience of God. Omni, science, knowledge, omni, all. Definition, God is all-knowing. The knowledge includes all the past, the present, and all the future. Wouldn't it be nice that you are omniscient as a mother? And you say, "No, he didn't. Shut up. Go to your room. I'm going to whoop you when I get up there." You know it all. You know the past, present, and future. You have got all the information. You know, we had to be like a Philadelphia lawyer and look at that little rascal with a little sweet smiling face on him and say, "Mommy, Johnny did this. And you did down in the..." You know he's lying. God does not have to question about you. He already knows about you. And the incredible thing about God's omniscience is that he not only knows where you came from, he knows what you're doing and what you're going to be doing. Here's a biblical proof. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20. "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." He knows about you today coming to church. He knows about you running around, you sitting out in the car and honking the horn, getting mom and the 10 kids in the car. He knows about your tithing. He knows about your habits. He knows everything about that. Do you know that the greatest time in your life and the most honest time in your life is when you're like this? "Oh God, forgive me my sins." That is the most honest time of your life, because there's nobody there to impress. You know, some people, you know, they get up in church and they'll pray a King James prayer. "Oh Father, you know, bless Rehoboam, Jeroboam, the other bone brothers, amen. Oh thou, be thou greatest," you know. But down here you say, "Oh God, I'm such a sinner. God, I didn't know it. I didn't need it. I know you told me not to buy it, but I bought it anyway, and now I'm in trouble." Yeah, you're honest, amen. Come on. Right. Greatest time of your life is when you're on your knees all by yourself in that little cubbyhole, that little place you found to get away from everybody else and those kids and your husband or your wife, and you're all by yourself with God. It's the most honest time of your life. Now, let me show you some manifestation. Manifest means if you're a guy ever is on a boat or a plane or anything, there's always a manifest. It tells you exactly everything, how many souls are on board and everything else. How much fuel, how much water, how much food. I want to give you the manifestation of God's omniscience. First of all, his material world. Psalm 147, verse 4. He telleth the number of the stars and calleth them all by name. If there's anything that ever astounded me about God is this. He knows the number of the stars and he calleth them all by name. I can't even keep my three boys' names straight. In fact, when I was growing up, I was 8 years old until I realized my name wasn't Hey You. That's some of his manifestation. And then there's manifestation to the animal world. Matthew 10:29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father knowing. I feed birds at my house. Everybody loved the shear house. They come, they fertilize my, but anyway, they love me. And there's sparrows. That's all there is at my house right now, sparrows. I don't know where all my other birds are, but just sparrows. The other day I saw one on the ground dead. And I thought to myself, my God, who spoke this world and the universe in by his breath, he knows about that little birdie. Isn't that incredible? To me, that just makes me, I just can't get enough of who God really is. A little stinking bird meant a lot to him. I'm not sure you heard the story, but I'm going to tell it again. A kid was walking down the ocean and saw a starfish and picked it up and whooped it out of the water. And the guy says, what'd you do that for? Well, he's saving its life. He says, well, you can't save them all. He says, I know, but I'll bet you that one was happy. God tolerates, cares for even the littlest ones. The spirit of the dead. Job chapter 26 and verse 6, hell is naked before him. Destruction hath no covering. God knows about those that are in hell. It must give him great anguish when he said, I did everything I could for them to come to Christ. I sent apostles and I sent prophets and I sent evangelists and I sent preachers and teachers and they would not hear me. You remember his illustration when he says he cried over Jerusalem. He says, I was like a hen that would gather her chicks to me and you would not. And the Bible says, and he teared and he cried. The world of mankind, God knows about that. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. God knows. Without question, he knows your heart. He knows that you have invited him to be your Savior, or you haven't. I don't know about you, but the things that I've learned today in these weeks and months that I've studied for this and years, I can't understand. I can't fathom how a man would not accept Christ as their personal Savior and have a home in heaven forever. I can't understand that. Why would you stay back? Why would you hold back and say, well, I have my own will. I'll do what I want. God gave me that. Yes, he did. But he's also gave you the Holy Spirit of God that keeps pricking at your heart and pricking at your heart and say, Hey, listen to that preacher. He's telling you the truth. He's telling you that there's a God in heaven. He's telling there's a heaven to get. and a hell to shun. Now listen to him. I'm amazed that God knows all the past and the future events. Nothing gets by him. Isaiah 46, verse 9, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring, verse 10 and 11, declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executed my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. That's God. He also, all possibilities. I love what the Samuel wrote in 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 11. Will the men of Kilah deliver me up into his hands? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. And then said David, will the men of Kilah deliver me by men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver thee up. So he goes to God and he said, dear God, I got a problem here. I'm running from Saul the king. He's trying to catch me. Now the city of Kilah said, hey, come on in here. And he said, Lord, will these people deliver me to the king? And he said, yeah, they will. I don't know about you, but old David said, okay, boop, 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 goodbye, I'm out of here. He's out of there. So God knows all possibilities. That's why it's so important for you. Now, let's just put it over your on your doorstep, okay? God knows all the things that are going to go in your life. So it would be a good idea for you to go counsel God about your life. Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, where should I go? Lord, should I buy this? Lord, should I get this? Should I buy this home? Should I buy this vehicle? Should I buy this at the store? Yes. All of those things God wants you to confer to him. Because he's a great God. How does he love you? He's concerned about you. He's concerned about you rearing your children. By the way, he gave you an awful good textbook. He's concerned about where you live, how you live. He's concerned about your actions. But most of all, he knows all about you. He knows your name. He knows your heartaches. He knows your sorrows. He knows the days you don't want to get up. He knows the days you want to get up, but you can't get up. He knows when you're sick. He knows when you're disappointed. I talked to a pastor yesterday. Good guy. Just a great guy. I started crying on the phone. I said, man, what's wrong? He said, my son left. My son left. He had a girlfriend that she left home, and he says, Brother Sherry says, he's been my right-hand man, my soul-winning partner, and he just, my buddy, and he left. By the way, that man's preaching in the pulpit this morning. I know preachers all over the country that have broken hearts. But I will tell you, preacher friend, there's a God in heaven that knows all about it. And he's going to take care of you. You just keep going and do what you're supposed to do. Amen. You just be in the way. You just keep going and being in the way. And while I was in the way, God found me and God helped me. There's some things in his life that you just don't know which way to turn. And some of the craziest things. You just like, it's kind of like you almost get a whiplash when somebody tells you, what? I know this kid. If I could have, a year ago, I would have hired him and said, hey, come on with me. I mean, that's just the kind of guy he was. And now, you pray for that man. You pray for that young man. But you pray for his dad. His dad goes in the pulpit today. He draws his two-edged sword and got the shield up. And he's preaching the Word of God. But deep down inside his heart, he's thinking about it all the time. Yes, you do, don't you? I'm going to close. You come back, I'll give you some more tonight, amen? There's some things in this world that we're dealt. And we have no idea. We've never been there before. This has never happened to me before. I don't understand how to take care of it. How many of that you can say that? I've never been there like that. I don't understand this stuff. If you didn't raise your hand, you really don't care, and maybe you're just, I don't know, you're high on something, I don't know. But I'll tell you something, every day is a challenge. But let me encourage you. Though it is a challenge to us, you have an almighty God who is omnipotent, all-powerful, that can do anything. He's omniscient. He knows everything about it. And he's also omnipotent. I mean, omnipresent. He's every place at all times. He's with you. And you may be getting on that helicopter. You may be getting on that, you're getting in that Humvee. You may be walking guard. You may be at home with a walking guard for a little child that's sick. Or your wife may be sick and you don't know what to do about it. You know what I'm talking about. You've been through it. All of us have been through that. You know which way to turn. That's why. Oh, man, I've got good news for you. That's why we got a God in heaven that said, hey, I got it covered, bud. The Bible says, he will not slumber nor sleep. He that keepeth Israel never slumber nor sleep. So that means that when I get tired, he's got it handled. Years ago, there was a preacher, great preacher, and his daughter had tonsillitis and a tonsillectomy, and you know, it's not a big deal. You know, they go in and take care of his noise out, and you know, and everything's fine. And he's sitting there in the room, and all of a sudden, the doctors came in and said, "Oh my goodness, sis, we got to take your daughter back down. She's bleeding to death." And man, it was just crazy. And finally, he brought the little girl back to the room and says, "No, we got to really watch her." And the preacher said, "I've been really busy with my church and busy with my Christian school and busy with my family." He said, "I'm so tired." He said, "But I got to stay awake." And all of a sudden, that scripture came, "He never slumbers nor sleeps." He said, "Dear God, I'm so tired. You're going to be awake all night. You might as well take care of it. I'm going to sleep." By the way, he woke up. Everything's fine. Baby's good. It's cool. Sometimes we think we are the one that's going to take care of that. Are you out of your mind? What are you going to do about it? I'm glad I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. And I want to encourage you people of this church, just remember, God is on your side. He will not let anything happen to you you cannot withstand or provide a way of escape, and it's going to be okay. It's just that we have to calm down and quit having these hypertension acts, aggravating circumstances in our life to say, "Oh, what am I going to do?" Well, if you really think about it, worry has not helped me a bit. Relax. One step at a time.
Huh?
Is God good? Do you think He can take care of this for you? Then relax. Father, speak to our hearts today. We love You so much for all You've given to us. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for the privilege of serving You. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would just speak to our hearts now. Help us, Lord Jesus, to go about Your business and be more like You. Lord, help us to quit acting like atheists, that we think it's all about us. Lord, all of this is for Your kingdom. All of you, this is for Your glory and praise. We're just mortals that have only one hope, and that is in You. So, Lord God, first of all, I pray for those who do not know You as Savior. Today, they accept You. And, Lord, I also pray for those who have no hope. Lord, You'd show them some hope. I love the scripture where it says, Lord, You gave them a token. Gave them a token to remind them that You're there. Oh, God, thank You for the light You've shown some of these darkest paths so that we may just make it one more day. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you say, preacher, I am not saved. I do not have this God in my heart. I do not have this great, awesome, magnificent God as my Savior, and I need Him today. I'm not going to go any longer. I'm not going to go any farther without having Him as my Savior. And I want Him today. Right there where you're sitting, you can ask this God to be your Savior by praying a prayer like this. Say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe You died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right now. I trust You as my Savior today. You're here today and you say, preacher, I prayed that this morning. I asked Jesus to be my Savior. Would you lift your hand? I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out. But boy, I'd sure love to pray for you. God bless you. Anybody else? Today, I'm asking God to be my Savior. You hear today and say, preacher, I need God today to help me. There's some things in my heart and my life that just are really, I'm just having a bumpy ride right now. Just things that just don't seem like they're clicking, and I just don't understand it, and I just need to trust the Lord. Would you pray for me this morning? Would you lift your hand? God bless you. My. Yeah. Yeah. Right now, I'm going to pray for you. Lord, You've seen the hands of these precious ones that You love. Dear God, if You said if even a little sparrow falls, You know how much more that You care about us. We thank You for that. Would You just do something great? Would Your face shine upon them? Would You just give them a little help today, a token of Your love, that they would see You and say, I'm trusting the right one. I'm trusting the right one. Thank You, God. Now, Lord, speak to our hearts as we have this invitation. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you're not sure you're saved. I'm going to ask you, everyone, to stand to your feet. You're here today and say, preacher, I'm not saved. Why don't you come and let me show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure if you die today and go to heaven. Why don't you come right now? You're going to say, I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Why don't you come? Let me show you from God's Word how that you can accept this Almighty God into your heart and your life, that He'll be your Heavenly Father. My goodness, what a deal. You're here today and you say, preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed the Lord Jesus Christ and believers' baptism. Why don't you come? You say, preacher, we want to become members of the church. This is where we want to serve God at. Why don't you come at this time? Oh, we'd love to have you part of this. Why don't you come? Here today to see preacher, I don't know which way to turn. I just don't know which way to go. I went one way and I went the other. I just don't know. And boy, this life is, hey, why don't you just give it to God? Say, Lord, I'm just going to trust you in this thing. I don't, by the way, you don't know what to do anyway. You might as well trust him. Just give it up. Give it to him and say, Lord, here it is. I don't know what to do with it. I know this is pretty corny, but some of us are like the defensive player on the football team. That some unbelievable thing happens and the football is loose and they get it in their hand, they don't know what to do with the thing. And all of a sudden they find people coming at them. They don't know what to do. You know, that's the way life seems like. All of a sudden the ball is fumbled. All of a sudden you've got the ball in your hand and people are yelling and screaming and they're coming at you. That's what it is. That's what it's like. Isn't it? We don't know which way to turn. Why don't you give it over to God? He's going to be all night. Why don't you give it to God? He's going to be there for you. He said he'll fight your battles. Why don't you give it to him? Just give it to him. Confusion. Problem you don't know how to solve. Do you know there's a God that loves you? You remember the little sparrow that falls? Oh, how much more you are to him. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we can serve you and give our hearts to you. Lord, sometimes we don't know which way to turn. Time and time, it just seems like we just keep getting a new playbook to play. Just new plays, things that are just happening. We don't know how to figure them out. But we thank you that you do. Lord, would you speak to our hearts as we go to our separate homes today and bring us back tonight? May we be a blessing and help and encouragement to our friends. Thank you for loving us in Jesus' name. Amen. The other day I had the privilege to be at the benefit season going through some training. And they start off the training about making some marvelous moment in your life. And this lady brought up a tape measure that had a 10-foot tape measure. And they said, at benefits, those people we come in contact with 10 feet away from us, it's our responsibility to change their life, or it's our responsibility to make a magnificent moment to them. And I thought, boy, that's good. That's good for a church, you know. And so yesterday I had to go have my TB shot test read, and I walked through the hospital. And I have this little tag that says pastoral spiritual care on it. And I tried to make a magnificent moment for everybody I met. People came up to me and asked them where this place was and where that place was. And I just smile and act like this is my house. And I said, hey, all you have to do is, hey, let me take you there, you know. And I was there 45 minutes. I was only there for five. But I was trying to make magnificent moments for people. And, you know, I wonder if that shouldn't filter down to our church and make a magnificent moment. I know you did Wednesday when I wrote a message to Sam and Eileen Heidenreich, who has portrayed herself when she wrote to me that she was weeping. She said, I can't keep the tears from flowing to think that a church in Montana cared enough for us to help us out with a generator. We just made a magnificent moment for them, didn't we? Huh? So let's make that today. Let's be happy. And if you haven't met my wife, this is my wife, Marcia. She got all tickled by that sermon, amen. And, boy, it's amazing how she came forward and wept before the Lord. I hope that maybe it just may catch on to some of us, amen. You are dismissed. See you tonight, 6 o'clock.